From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we continue this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Today's text is in John chapter 1 and verse 16, "And of His fullness have all we received." These words tell us that there is a fullness in Christ. There is a fullness of essential deity, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. There is a fullness of perfect manhood, for in Him bodily that Godhead was revealed. There is a fullness of atoning efficacy in His blood, for the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. There is a fullness of justifying righteousness in His life, for there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There is a fullness of divine prevalence in His plea, for He is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. There is a fullness of victory in His death, for through death He destroyed him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. There is a fullness of efficacy in His resurrection from the dead, for by it we are begotten again unto a lively hope. There is a fullness of triumph in His ascension, for when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and received gifts for men. There is a fullness of blessings of every sort and shape, a fullness of grace to pardon, of grace to regenerate, of grace to sanctify, of grace to preserve, and of grace to perfect. There is a fullness at all times, a fullness of comfort in affliction, a fullness of guidance in prosperity, a fullness of every divine attribute, of wisdom, of power, of love, a fullness which it were impossible to survey, much less to explore. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Oh, what a fullness must this be, of which all receive! Fullness indeed must there be, when the stream is always flowing, and yet the well springs up as free, as rich, as full as ever. Come, believer, and get all thy needs supplied. Ask largely, and thou shalt receive largely, for this fullness is inexhaustible, and is treasured up where all the needy may reach it, even in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us.
Of Calvary, the cross on which the Savior bled and died. Lift high the cross of victory, for the price is paid and man is justified. Hallelujah, praise the Son of God. Hallelujah, praise His name. Lift high the Christ of Calvary, for yesterday, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that man through Jesus might be saved. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord, the victory was won. Lift high the cross of Calvary, the cross on which the Savior bled and died. Of victory, for the price is paid.
Imagine a boy growing up under the influence of a drunken father, participating in the violence and bloodshed of Northern Ireland in the 1970s, and being imprisoned in the Maze, the most notorious prison in the country. Yet, by the grace of God and the influence of caring loved ones, this young man's life was transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thorough was the change that Thomas Martin became a powerful preacher whose testimony and ministry has seen many men and women brought to new life in Christ. Thomas Martin's story of the miracle of God's saving grace has been set down in a book entitled Out of the Maze, written by Noel Davidson. And Let the Bible Speak is happy to make copies of this encouraging and heartwarming book available free of charge to all who request it. For a free copy of Out of the Maze, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of Out of the Maze, and we'll be happy to provide it. But don't delay. The supply of this book is very limited. Continuing his studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Slaves to Sin or to Grace. The text is in Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. The emphasis has been upon the believer's union with Christ, which delivers him from bondage to the law. Paul has emphasized that we are not under the law, but under grace. That is, the law is not a means of salvation. That comes only by the grace of God through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Again, Paul stresses that salvation does not depend on any merit or works of the sinner. As he wrote earlier, we are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns is showing that every member of the human race is a slave, either to sin or to grace. Indeed, each person willingly presents himself or gives himself deliberately to the dominion of either the devil or God. Fallen man has no power to deliver himself from slavery to sin. Only the Holy Spirit can do that as he brings the repentant sinner to Christ. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Slaves to sin or to grace?
We're either under law, trying to work our way to heaven, or we're under grace, receiving the free gift of justifying righteousness by the application of the merits of Christ, received through faith. Either we're in Adam, Remember what chapter 5, verse 12 had to say about that. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Because all sinned. Where did they sin? They sinned in Adam. They were condemned in Adam. By nature, when we're born into this world, we're born in Adam. Every man, woman, and child here is either in Adam or by grace now in Christ. Therefore, every man is either condemned or justified. So, all men are slaves, either to sin or to grace. Now, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. You cannot be both a slave of sin and a slave of grace. In other words, you can't be condemned and justified. You can't be saved and lost. You can't be a child of God and a child of the devil. No man can serve two masters. It's one or the other. And I want you to listen carefully tonight. And I want you to take this very much to heart. This goes beyond church and church affiliation and church experience. Goes beyond education at a Christian school. It goes beyond profession of faith. And this gets right down to the heart of things, where you stand with God. You are a slave. Whose slave? That's the question. Leads to the second thing I want to say. Each man shows whether he's a slave to sin or a slave to grace by presenting himself as the willing slave of one or the other. Look at verses 16 and 17. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants or slaves to obey, his servants, his slaves ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 16 gives us a general principle, a self-evident truth. Shouldn't take any proving of this. If you hand yourself over as a slave to any master, you're his slave. No great feat of logic or logical power in understanding that. If you present, the word present or yield means to give yourself up to the power or the disposal of another. It means to place yourself deliberately into the hands of another. And Paul is saying, if you deliberately place yourself under the power and at the disposal of any master, then you are a slave to that master. Understand what he's saying. He's not just saying a servant. Not even an indentured servant. He's talking about a slave. A slave, and this was especially true in Roman times. You must understand this was written to the church in the city of Rome. It was written at a time when the world was ruled by Rome and Roman law. And you must understand that a slave under Roman law had hardly the standing of a dog. A slave was, and in Paul's thinking here, is under his master's power absolutely. Absolutely. And he's bound for life. His servitude does not end. Furthermore, he doesn't do his own will. He does his master's will. Now, there are times when he may enjoy what his master's will is. But whether he likes it or lumps it, a slave's job is to do his master's will. Now bring this into Paul's argument. He's saying we are all slaves of sin by nature. We are all under the bondage of sin by nature. But here's the worst thing of all. We are slaves of sin, but we are willing slaves of sin. We love to be slaves of sin. Sinners are not sinners against their will. They are sinners because sin rules in their will. And thereby, Paul is able to say that you are yielding yourself. You're handing yourself over. You're giving yourself into the power and the dominion to be at the disposal of sin. There are times, of course, because the image of God and man, though severely defaced, has not been eradicated. There are times when conscience will arouse you. There are times when you will feel guilty for your sin. There are times when you will hate certain aspects of your bondage. We all know what this is about. Men hate the results of their sin. They hate the sadness. They hate the broken hearts, the broken minds, the broken homes, the broken families. They hate the awful scourge that sin brings without hating the master who reigns in the heart. There are times when you may feel guilty and hate aspects of your bondage, but still be driven to serve and obey the master, sin. And you know, the result is always fatal. Notice three times in this passage that we have read, verse 16, obeying sin unto death. Verse 21, the last line, the end of those things is death. Verse 23, the wages of sin is death. The result for the slaves of sin is death. Eternal death. The second death. Death. And hell forever. Sin is fatal. Every time. The only alternative to sin unto death is obedience unto righteousness or justification. But you know, that's impossible. I come to a sinner, and he's sinning unto death, and sin reigns in his heart, and the result is death and hell forever. And I come and I say, here, what you need to do is start producing obedience so that you'll be justified. That's to mock him in his sin. For one overpowering reason, fallen man has neither the will nor the power to escape the reign of sin, or to originate righteousness toward God. You remember what the Lord Jesus said as he spoke to the Jews who said that they were not slaves? We're not in bondage to any man. Jesus answered them, John 8:34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoso committeth sin is the servant, is the slave of sin. You see, there's no recuperative power in fallen man. Ephesians 2:2 tells of how the fallen man walks according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What is wrong with America today? What is wrong with the world today? What's wrong with society today? Why has education not worked? Why has culture not worked? Why has the greatest prosperity any nation has ever known in history not led to a betterment in the moral standards and climate of the nation? Why have none of these things worked? For the very simple reason that without saving grace, men are walking according to the course of the world, They're walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil himself, and he's the one who is energizing in the children of disobedience. We look at the drunk and the drug addict and the streetwalker and all the people who are on the fringes of society because they're down and almost out, and we say we can see Satan working there. Well, you can, but don't ever think that's the only place he's working. You go to the homes of the rich and the famous and the high and the mighty, and he's working there just as truly. And just as powerfully, and for the people involved, just as fatally. So here we are. A slave. And you show to whom you're a slave by presenting yourself, handing yourself over to the control and power and dominion and disposal, either of sin and Satan, or grace and God. One or the other. There's hope for getting out of the one into the other. Because the gospel has given evidence of this in the experience of believers. Notice carefully the third thing here, that believers started out in the same position as the rest of men, slaves of sin, but they have undergone a great change and they're now slaves of grace. Notice carefully the language of verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, or having then been made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now I want you to watch the language here very carefully. First thing, notice you obeyed from the heart. This obedience, and you've got to understand this because Paul is not contradicting himself, saying you're saved by faith, now you're saved by obeying. What he means, he refers to in chapter 1, verse 5, the obedience to the faith, or as the marginal reference puts it, obedience of faith. He repeats that at the very end of the epistle in chapter 16, verse 26, where he says that the gospel is now made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God. It's made known to all nations for obedience to the faith, or for the obedience of faith. What's this obedience? It's the obedience of faith. Now, as Dr. Barrett will tell you as a Greek scholar, that little word of leads to dozens of pages of discussions on technical books of Greek grammar. The word of is so small, but it's so often so important. In this connection, it means either the obedience that belongs to faith, or the obedience that springs from faith, or as I believe better still, the obedience that is faith. What he's talking about is a faith that is inside and that is manifested by obedience. It's a faith obedience. That seems to be his idea. It was certainly the idea of his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. For in John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So this obeying from the heart, this obedience is faith that obeys the command of the gospel. I want you to notice that this faith obedience is from the heart. In other words, it is the submission of the whole mind and will to the truth and terms of the gospel. Notice what I said. It's submitting the whole mind and will to the truth and terms of the gospel. People think that faith is a matter just of the head. It's not. Romans chapter 10, remember verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes, verse 10. With the heart man believes. You know, when people refuse to believe the gospel, they sometimes try to cloak their problem by presenting it as an intellectual problem. I have intellectual problems with the gospel. Man, don't fool yourself. What you have is a heart problem. A will that is governed by sin, rebellion, lawlessness, wickedness, that rejects God and His Christ. It's a heart problem. It's with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. Therefore, Paul is saying here, this obedience is from the heart.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.